and all being lost as a result of that. We know that today you and I are trying to reach the lost with the gospel of Christ, and as we go about doing our work from day to day and trying to influence our society, we recognize that there are certain things that we need to say concerning the gospel. There are people that need to be approached differently. But is our message relevant? When we think about the message that we're presenting to those in the world, this question comes to our mind. I want us to look at a couple of things as far as that statement is concerned. First of all, the word message means a piece of information that is sent or given to someone. When you and I are out in the world and we're trying to influence people for good and we're trying to teach them the gospel of Christ, what kind of message are we presenting to them? You know, when we think about that in relationship to the folks that we know, we recognize that our example goes a long way. But how we approach those people and what we say has a lot to do with it as well. That's where the relevancy comes in, because the word relevant means relating to a subject in an appropriate way. So as we consider the question, is our message relevant? Our message, of course, is the good news of Jesus Christ. When the shepherds were standing in the field and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, the glory of God shone round about them, as we find recorded in Luke chapter 2. The Bible says, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." You notice what the message of the angel was. It was good news, and that's what we call the gospel, isn't it? We define the word gospel as good news. So when we think about bringing good news is always something that people love to hear. But when we consider the relevancy of that message, those to whom we are delivering it, we find in Romans chapter 10, verse 15, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." When we take the gospel to people, we're bringing something good to them. We're bringing some good news to them. Now, the good news, of course, is not that they're lost, but that there is a way for them to become saved from their lost condition. And as we consider the question, is our message relevant? Our message is the gospel. When we consider the gospel, there are many people that talk about the gospel that really do not understand what the gospel actually is. We find, as we think about the word gospel itself, we should not be ashamed of the gospel. We should be like the Apostle Paul. As he stated in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek." When we think about that shame that Paul was referring to, we recognize that he was talking about the crucifixion of Christ on a cross, which was a shameful form of death. People who were crucified were usually considered the harshest of criminals. And the Roman Empire crucified many, many people. Jesus wasn't the only person ever nailed to a cross. But as Jesus died on that cross, he died an innocent man, not as a criminal. But we find, as we think about our message being the gospel, as we talk to people about that cross, as we talk to them about Jesus giving his life for you and I, that we might have the opportunity of salvation, that it should be good news to those living in the world. Because as people stand before God in a lost condition, there is no other way except through Jesus Christ. But we find that as the Apostle Paul talks about the gospel, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he defines what the gospel actually is. In verses 1 through 4, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which was preached to you." And we find, as he talked about this gospel, he says, "By which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now this is something that we need to be preaching and teaching to the people of the world. That Jesus gave his life that we might live, that we might not die spiritually, that we could be with God in eternity. So is our message relevant? You know, when we think about talking to people concerning the gospel, there is good news in that message. But the good news also cannot be considered good without bad news. The bad news, of course, when we think about that, is the fact that people are lost. And as we consider what is stated about Jesus and His second coming, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9 says, "The Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." When we look at that, those verses, we find something there that many people are not familiar with. That phrase, obeying the gospel. Jesus is going to come taking vengeance on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can talk to people out here in the world, even those among religious folk, and you ask them something about obeying the gospel, and they don't even understand what that phrase means. What does it mean to obey the gospel? Well, that's why I ask the question, is our message relevant? You and I, as members of the Lord's church, understand what obeying the gospel is and what that represents. But the majority of the folks in the world, they do not even understand what that concept is, obeying the gospel. So is our message relevant? When we consider giving them the good news, there is the bad news that if they do not obey the gospel, they're going to be lost. So we find man's response to the good news should be that they obey, of course. But when we think about man's response, he has responsibility to, first of all, hear the gospel. That's where our job comes in as New Testament Christians. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, the question is asked, "How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" You and I may not necessarily have to be a person that stands in the pulpit, but we can preach the gospel of Christ through the life that we live and the words that we speak. And certainly as we talk to people in our communities, we recognize that there should be some things that you and I do and say that represent our Lord Jesus Christ, and we help people hear the gospel of our Lord. We find also that people must believe. Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I am He, you should die in your sins." Now He's talking about, unless you believe that I am the Christ, the Messiah, the one who was promised in the Old Testament, the one who has come to be your Savior. Unless you believe all of that about Jesus, you will die in your sins. We find also, when we consider the man's response, they need to repent as well. Luke chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And then we must also confess that He is God's Son. Matthew 10, 32, "Whoever confesses Me before men, him will I also confess before My Father in heaven." And then, of course, the ultimate thing, or the last thing concerning obeying the gospel, is being baptized into Christ. We find in Romans chapter 6 the illustration of how one obeys the gospel. For those who do not understand that concept, it is explained here in these passages. "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him." You see, Jesus died and Jesus was buried. We're buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised, as He was resurrected the third day, raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And when you talk to people out here in the world about becoming a Christian, many of them will stress the fact that all you have to do is believe in Jesus and you're automatically a Christian. Well, there's more to it, as we can see through these steps. One must hear, they must believe what they hear, they must repent, they must confess Jesus as God's Son, they must ultimately be baptized into Christ. And once they do that, they're reenacting the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15? That Jesus died for our sins, He was buried, and He was resurrected the third day. And we see in Romans chapter 6 the reenactment of that death, burial, and resurrection. As you and I die to ourselves, we crucify that old man of sin, we bury that person in water in the likeness of Jesus' burial, and are resurrected to walk in newness of life. When we think about those things, that is man's response to the good news of the gospel of Christ. But what about the revelance? We think about this statement and we recognize that the message must be relevant to those who are hearing it. So we ask the question, are people listening? If I can get my clicker to work. Are people listening to what we say? You know, when we think about the question, are people listening? We recognize there are some people in our society that are not interested in the gospel. They are not interested in religion in any form, fashion. We recognize also that sometimes the message and the way that we present it might turn people away that they will not hear. But we think about the question, are they listening? Well, we find in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 5, the Apostle Paul told Timothy to preach the word. When we consider preaching the word, he said, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but will, based on their itching ears, heap to themselves teachers. When we think about the situation that exists in our world today, we recognize that there are many that are being turned aside, the fables and such as Paul talked about. We recognize that there are many that no longer are hearing the truth. But are we telling it? That is one of the questions that we need to ask ourselves, because it doesn't matter how many people are listening. It doesn't matter whether people turn us away or refuse to listen. It matters whether we're telling it or not. I used the parable of the soils this morning that Jesus talked about. So we're going forth to sow the seed. You and I are responsible for sowing the seed. And we need to be like this man on the picture there. I will talk with anyone about anything. And that's the way some of us are. We'll talk about the weather. We'll talk about sports. We may talk about Alabama's good win last night. Something of that nature. We'll talk to folks about a number of things except the gospel. So is our message relevant? When we consider the idea of the relevancy of our message of the gospel of Christ, there need to be people who are listening. But we need to change a message. Some people have gotten the idea that folks aren't interested in the message we have nowadays, so let's change it. Let's do something different. When we think about changing the gospel of Christ, it certainly is something that we should never change. But these things change. You know, when you look at culture, you look at people, you look at processes, those things change. People change from time to time. The attitudes and ideas that people have change. Our culture changes as a result of that. And processes in making things have changed certainly over the years. There are a lot of different things that are done nowadays. I remember going over and picking cotton and carrying a pick sack. But that's changed drastically now because cotton pickers go through and get that stuff done. So we think about the fact that things have changed and people have changed. Our culture has changed. But do we need to change the gospel? These things never change. God never changes. As we find written in Psalm chapter 90, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God never changes. You see, that's one thing that mankind seems to miss the concept about God, that God is never changing. And we live in a society of tolerance. We live in a society of second chances and things of that nature. And we think with God that we can do whatever we want to, and God is going to overlook all of that and just allow us to go to heaven anyway. But certainly when we think about God and the concept of God, the principles of God, those things never change. And when God speaks, He expects you and I to obey, do exactly what He says, as He says, when He says, and nothing more or nothing less. So God never changes, and Jesus never changes. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 talks about Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then, of course, the gospel never changes. As Paul talked to the brethren in Galatia. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone, any man, preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Brethren, that word accursed in the original Greek language means something more than what the word might represent to you and I in English. The word in the original Greek language means let that person be forever cut off from God without any hope or opportunity to be saved. That's how serious Paul was, and the Holy Spirit who inspired these words were concerning anyone who would pervert or change the gospel of Christ. Now we might consider what is required to consider or be considered a change of the gospel. Anything we add to it or anything we detract from it is a change of the gospel. And those people, Paul said by inspiration, should be cut off forever from God. So these things never change. So our message should never change. But how we deliver it could change. The way we approach people could change. And we think about the relevant message. There are people in our world that are lost. This has always been since the Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. There have been lost people in the world. So we consider today that there are numerous lost people in our world. And these people need to be saved. They're lost without Christ, and they need to be saved. What can we do to save them? We can teach them the message of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we consider, as we think about where we live, I don't know what the population of Tanner is. I know back home in Hodges we have about 300 in our city limits. But considering the idea of the billions of people, supposedly above 7 billion people living in this world today, how are we going to reach those masses? How are we going to teach those people that you need to obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? You see, our message may be relevant, but folks may not be necessarily hearing it because we haven't ever delivered it. That's what I've been doing in promoting World Bible School. Robert said I would talk more about that. The work that World Bible School and the tool that World Bible School provides for Christians everywhere to use in reaching and evangelizing the communities where they live and throughout the world is a relevant message. We're reaching people where they are. We don't have to go to them in some foreign country. We don't have to bring them to the United States to hear the message. We take the message to them. Through advertising, they can sign up and take those lessons, the Bible correspondence lessons, through the postal systems, wherever they are. They can also sign up on the internet to become students and study those same lessons that are done through the postal system. And it teaches them about God and about Jesus and about the fact that they're lost and in need of a Savior. It teaches them what they need to do to obey the gospel, a term that they may not be familiar with. And it teaches them how to be a good, faithful Christian once they obey the gospel. So World Bible School is a tool that can be used by every congregation and every Christian to evangelize because people are lost. Brethren, I don't think that we consider that concept enough. To think about what it would be like to be lost. We probably remember what it felt like to you and I when we were lost before we obeyed the gospel, before we became a Christian. But to actually be lost in eternity without any change, without any chance of change, forever and forever to be in a devil's hell. An everlasting punishment. What would that be like? To even think about it is frightening, isn't it? But to consider that there are billions of people that are in that condition. And I ask myself the question, what am I doing about it? They're lost. They need to be saved. God provided the way for their salvation. God provided the way through Jesus, His Son. I need to be sharing that message with those that are lost. And through World Bible School, I can do it in a far more advanced situation or far more reaching than I could ever go. If I were to decide that I was going to go to every nation in the world, I'd probably be too old to travel before I ever got to all of them. But there are places in the world where I could not go as an evangelist. I could never take my Bible into some countries. I would be forbidden a visa to even travel there to try to teach the gospel of Christ. But through World Bible School, because it's offered on the internet, those people in the privacy of their home can get on their computers or wherever they have access to the internet. They can sign up to become students. I can teach them without ever leaving my home. This is a tool. World Bible School is not a mission work in and of itself. It is a tool. It provides the tools for Christians to do the evangelizing. And you and I need to be sharing the gospel of Christ with the lost and dying world. Is that message still relevant? Just as relevant today as it was on the day of Pentecost. People are still just as lost. People are still in need of the same Savior, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we need to be sharing that message with them. And we can do this through living a relevant life. Because when we think about the life that we live, we find that you and I as Christians, we're saved from our sins. What are we doing with that salvation? We're rejoicing in it, yes. We're grateful for it, yes. We gather together such as we're doing this morning and praise God for it, yes. But we consider that we've been saved in order to save others. You see, while millions are dying lost, and I'm enjoying my salvation and I'm not telling them about the gospel, I'm not sharing with them the message that they need to hear, shame on me. A relevant life is one that we understand where we've been and where we are and where we're going. And we are saved to save others. And this only makes sense, brethren. When we think about God sending His Son to this world, you know, humankind could never fathom the way of saving Himself from sin. This was God's plan. And only God's wisdom designed this plan. God designed before He ever created the world that man's going to be lost, he's going to need a Savior, and I'm going to send my Son to sacrifice Himself for their sins. What a wonderful gift God has given us. What a wonderful opportunity we all have to be able to go to heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our message is relevant, brethren. Are we presenting it? Are we telling folks about it? I was grateful to hear this morning as Robert was talking about the door-knocking campaign that you're planning on having in the near future. And I hope that you plan to use World Bible School in helping with that project and it will prove successful. Many souls in this community will be brought to Christ. Our message is relevant. Our message needs to be heard. We have to get it outside our church buildings for it to be heard. And we want to be able to do that as we stand before God and hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But I don't want to stand before God when I've refused to use the opportunities He's given me. Or if I've failed to use the tools He's provided. As I talked about in my presentation this morning, God has removed our every excuse for not evangelizing the world. As a gospel preacher, I've thought about evangelizing the world, 7 billion plus people. And I've thought, Lord, how are we going to do that? How are we going to reach these people? And here He's given us World Bible School as a tool to go into every nation